Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think contract stuff is still in discussions a little bit. I'm not too worried about that. I have to go out there and play really good football. I got to worry about getting 1% better each and every day, finding my one-ups, whatever they are each and every day, focusing on that. I'm leaving my contract stuff to my agent. He does a great job with that. That's why I pay him. I just got to go out here every day, continue to work, and continue to get better.
All right, well, that was Dallas Goedert yesterday, and it got people talking like, oh, the Eagles are talking contract extension with Dallas Goedert. What from that gives you an idea that they're close on a contract? Of course, his agent, they should be discussing a contract extension with Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
But unless they're giving him a team-friendly contract, unless he's accepting a team-friendly contract, I'm not signing Dallas Goedert to Jonnu Smith free agent contract money just yet.
Yeah, I mean, if you're Dallas, you don't have a better option, and he's going to get the target. So if you're Dallas, it's no rush unless you just want the financial security. I mean, if you're that far apart.
And play the season out.
Yeah, you just go ahead and play the season out, and then the Eagles will go ahead and franchise tag you because we don't expect Zach Ertz to be here, because I seriously wouldn't expect them to give him a contract extension and pay Zach Ertz $8 million this year to be here. But who knows? I mean, I thought I saw something where they didn't expect Zach to report for training camp.
That's been reported. I don't know if it's new, but that's something that's been out there that, yeah, like, he doesn't want to be here and he's not going to report.
Yeah, but 14 G's a day.
Oh,
I'd rethink that, Zach.
I'd be reporting and collecting every yes, cent of that salary.
We're going to rethink that, Zach.
So the bigger question is, you don't draft a guy in the second round if you don't intend to re-sign him. And he hasn't been, I don't think Dallas Goedert has been a great pick so far. He's shown a lot of potential, hasn't put it together. This is the final year of his rookie four-year contract, so it's a big year for him. Last year in limited games, played in 11 games, had 524 yards and three touchdowns. Uh-huh. So he's shown potential. You can see it. But I don't want to give him $30-40 million guaranteed and make him one of the top five best tight end or highest paid tight ends in the league right now.
Well, I mean, it's going to get more expensive. It's not going to get cheaper.
Well, I mean, okay, but maybe you don't re-sign him. I mean, if he comes,
right,
if
oh,
he
then, comes, that's the other option.
Right, like if he comes out this year and he plays pretty well, you can always franchise him for another year, mm-hmm, and be like, okay, like, listen, if you still want this top money, we can use the franchise tag on you. That's about $10 million. That's for 1 year. Mm-hmm. And listen, if he comes out this year and has 900 yards and 70 catches and seven touchdowns, they're going to re-sign him. I mean, they should re-sign him there. But, yeah. I'm not ready to do it just yet.
Well, I just think you kind of have to do it. If you plan on doing it, it's better to get it done sooner rather than later. As long as it's a number you're comfortable with. I mean, if it's a number you're comfortable with, you go ahead and do it. If not, I mean, Dallas is going to do business from his side of things.
Sure.
He knows he's in a position of, where he's going to, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to get his targets. Tight end is always a young quarterback's best friend. Jalen Hurts is going to have a better time of completing passes between those hashes than he will throwing the ball on the outside somewhere. So, and if you don't expect Zach Ertz to be here, Dallas Goedert.
You need him.
He could be your leading receiver this year.
Easily.
Yeah, he'd be a leading receiver this year.
So, Jonnu Smith, who signed in the offseason with the Patriots, he has a $50 million contract. It's an average annual salary of $12.5 million, but it's a guarantee of over $30 million. So if that's the bar that's being set this year, his agent, if I'm his agent, I'm asking for more than that right now, or yeah, around the same.
I mean, listen, the Eagles certainly have the franchise tag and the extra year as a benefit to them. But what they don't have as a benefit to them is an abundance of talent on that side of the football.
Yeah.
So,
or a backup plan to if
Goedert
doesn't
come back. That's what I'm
saying.
You don't have another tight end, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean,
unless you got another tight end that's better.
Well, there's a free agent tight end out there.
You're going to wind up paying a free agent tight end.
Richard Rodgers, he's available.
Boy, he's not better. I mean, that was the reason why they didn't want to pay Zach, because they had Dallas Goedert.
Right.
So you can't say you don't want to pay both of them.
No,
you don't have another tight end available.
It makes all the sense in the world that they sign him this offseason, unless he's asking.
You're going to have to sign Jalen Hurts in a minute, man. Like, eventually, you're going to have to, like, they have to make a decision on Miles Sanders. They got to make a decision on Jalen Hurts in 2 years, right? Like, or some other quarterback, whomever it is. Like, they have.
And they have the cap space going forward to pay Goddard.
Yeah. And he's a tight end.
Yep.
It's not like he's getting wide receiver money.
No, he's not.
So. Again, it depends on what he's asking for. I'm with you. I wouldn't give Dallas Goedert $30 million guaranteed.
Just yet.
Yeah. He would need to have a Pro Bowl caliber season. Like, New England is desperate.
They had to overpay because they needed it.
They need
to get as
much talent as they could. Hell, they got two tight ends.
Yep.
And paid them good money.
And I think they actually both got $12.5 million per year. It's just that Smith right. got the higher guaranteed salary. Yeah. But Goddard's 2019 season, his second year, 58 catches, 607 yards, and 5 touchdowns. That seemed like it was like, man, he's breaking out. Like, this is a good year. Year 3 is going to be great. And then the injuries derailed him last year. He should be primed, like you said. Zach Ertz isn't going to be there to get the targets. You have Devontae Smith. Sure, you have Jalen Reagor. He should be one of the team leaders in targets if he stays healthy, especially with a young quarterback.
He's the biggest target, and he's the easiest throw to make.
Yep.
It's a tight end.
So if he has a big year like a lot of people think he should, then all these things will take care of themselves, likely.
Yeah. It's just a matter of whether or not you're paying him now or you're paying him later.
Yep.
I mean, as far as Dallas Goedert goes, I mean, you obviously want the money now. He's going to be here. It's not an issue from that standpoint. So he's not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Just said he's not. All right, let's give you our Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville on Route 309. Dads and grads, Mark's Jewelers has you covered. Get in early for Father's Day or get your graduate something great from Mark's Jewelers. You can shop online, marks-jewelers.com. Are you feeling better about the 76ers finals chances after last night, even without a 100% Joel Embiid? Yes or no? Not sold yet. And not surprisingly, 63% are saying no, not sold.
That's just rising.
Yet. It's rising. It did. It rose a couple hundred votes and some percentage points.
So I mean, that to me, that says something. That says, you know, that there is a realistic expectation, or the expectations have changed. Let me put it that way. The expectations have changed for this team based on Joel Embiid being injured. And there's a lot of fans out there right now, I'm one of them, that just feels like the championship or even the Eastern Conference Final, or just making it to the NBA Finals, doesn't seem like it's realistic. With a 75%.
Without knowing what Embiid is, yes.
Yeah, he's there's no way he can be 100%.
Right.
There's no way he can be 100%, and you're going to always be worried about managing his minutes out there on the court. So when does he play? How much do you rest him?
Does he need a game off in between games, right? Yeah.
Like, that's what you're going to be doing with him, even if he comes back.
So, to me, it seems like this could go two different ways. It could be like you said, he comes back, he's limited. You hope that with treatment and managing it, he can play every game. But then, again, you're looking at limited minutes. Or he could re-aggravate the injury and they would have to shut him down. And that's a real possibility, too.
Yeah.
Do we have the NovaCare doctor, Jack, on the morning show this morning? We had a couple orthopedic doctors yesterday. But here, what's his name, Jack?
Well, he's not totally sure off the top of my head. I'll look it up, though.
That's really not important.
So here it is.
If this is a real tear, resting him day to day for 2 weeks even isn't going to get this to heal. So if it's torn, 2 weeks of rest is not going to, it's not going to heal in 2 weeks. So if it's a real tear, 2 weeks is not going to do anything. If it's a small irritation or a mild grade one type signal, it's possible that the symptoms will quiet down, but you run the risk of converting a very small tear to a larger tear, depending on whether he plays on it or not. This is if this was not the playoffs, I don't think there'd be any discussion about whether he'd be playing again.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard it enough. It's already been confirmed. Not second guessing, not speculating. There's a small tear in his meniscus. Doc said if there's a tear there, He didn't say a large tear. He said even if there's a small tear, you run the risk of further damaging this. And it's going to have to be managed. We had your friend, the doctor, on.
Dr. Rob.
Yeah, I've heard other people either tweet out about it or talk about it. It's Joel Embiid. Everybody has an opinion, especially in this city, about his knee and what we should expect. And it's great that we do have so many orthopedics in this city that we can tap into and give us an idea. Because the Sixers aren't going to necessarily tell you.
Clearly right? not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there are people out there who've dealt with this, and this isn't an uncommon injury that even non-athletes wouldn't have dealt with it. So, you know, Howard has told you that
a lot of people have torn meniscus.
He's torn their meniscus. So, yep. And everybody's a little different. My biggest concern is when I think about this is Joel Embiid moving forward. That's my biggest concern. And do you run the risk of putting him out there and possibly damaging him or some type of causing an even more major issue being out there? Is it worth it? Is he going to be able to play at a level long enough that it's worth it? Is your opportunity to win greater now than it will be if you preserve him? And I know we don't like to say that. We don't like to hear that. But this is where we are right now. He has an injury. This isn't load management. There's an injury there. There's a slight tear there. We know this from an MRI. Are you running the risk of putting him out there, or do you just let the chips fall where they may with the squad that you got right now? And that's where I'm leaning. That's where I'm at. So I can be excited about that win. I'm actually excited about this series coming up against Atlanta, primarily because it may be the last good basketball we get to see from the Sixers.
Before you face the Nets or the Bucks?
Yeah.
If Embiid's not there? Yeah.
And I'm already under the mindset, John, I would be leaning towards Embiid is done. I'm closer to that.
Well,
I'm closer to that.
Everybody that has said, well, I've had a meniscus tear or this or that, you're not 7'2", 300 pounds, right?
Like jumping up and down.
His meniscus tear and what he does is different than what you're trying to do recovering from it. So it does seem like that inevitably it's going to be he just can't go or it's too much or everything else. I'm like you. I would like to see them not play him in the series, although the doctor had said that it's not going to matter even 2 weeks if you rest him. It's not going to be fixed.
Oh, no, I'm good with that. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that. That's why you just run the risk of him further damaging it, making it worse. That's what I'm saying. You just that's what you're really running the risk of.
Seems like that's going to be what happens because Embiid's not going to – because if he was like, you know what, no, do the surgery, let's get this fixed right now. I mean,
no, he doesn't want to do a surgery.
No.
He wants to play.
He's going
to
play through it.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what's going to happen. And they're going to cross their fingers and hope that they can manage it and it doesn't get worse and he's able to play.
Yeah, that's tough, man. That's what we'll all be doing.
And that's
it's
tough.
It's exactly what we'll all be doing.
Yep. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Ike, last night watching that game, there was something, there was a special feeling with the camaraderie of the team. And just like for the first time, the 76ers, it felt like a team to me. All the other years with people and players pulling in different directions or the coach not being on board or the players not being on board with the coach, this felt like a team last night. Let's go to Tom in Vancouver. Tom, how are you?
I agree with you, Johnny Marks.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. It's nice to have somebody agree with me once.
Absolutely. You know, the other day when I called and I was mentioning my concern about Ben and I was talking about the Raptors, and this team right now is starting to feel like the Raptors during that run. Now, that doesn't discount what Ike's saying. What Ike's saying is completely true. And it makes me actually think of Kevin Durant in that game 5 of the finals when he went back too early in that Achilles rupture.
Yep.
So, you know, it's very, very dangerous. But the thing that we got to keep in mind here is that to win it all, Embiid would have to be back and playing, I'm going to say, probably at about 80%. And Ben has to be playing at 100%. And if he's playing at 100%, and Embiid is only playing at 80%, and he's not playing for the next few games, I can see the possibility that this team gets better and better over the next few games. Because what the Raptors had done in that season with Kawhi is they'd done the load management. So that team was used to playing together. In this case, the team is getting more used to playing together without Embiid.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they looked good last night, but then you can also point to their record without Embiid during the season. Was it last night was just kind of a mirage because you know, the Wizards aren't a very good team, or was that the start of something special? I'll lean into, like, maybe last night it was one of those nights where, like, everything just clicked and the light bulb went off in the guys' heads and said, listen, Joe can come back. Joe will be back, but we need to get there for Joe to be back for it to matter.
Yeah, I remember Carson Wentz came back early. Remember that? Wound up breaking his back. Yeah, remember that? Yeah, yeah, never the same. I mean, the history of players trying to come back early and possibly furthering the damage, furthering an injury. Okay.
And it's not even about can he damage the meniscus further. Is he overcompensating because the knee is injured and he does something to the other knee?
Something happens, I'm just telling you. We're going to all be looking like, yeah, it probably wasn't really worth it. Because now he needs to have surgery again. He's going to miss the first half of next year or the first few months of the season. Next year, he's going to be on load management again. Next year, we're back to where we were. Awesome.
So what do you do?
Worried about can they get through the playoffs and have a healthy run through the playoffs? Like, that's where we are, and that's kind of where Chuck was. So I'm kind of responding to our Twitter question. And when I see 60%+ of the people who aren't necessarily feeling encouraged after last night's win, it isn't because of the way the game went last night. It's because when we look at the overview of this team moving forward, what's our chances of actually doing what we set out to do if Joel Embiid can't be the Joel Embiid he's been all year long? And people realize that.
You're still going to need Embiid to be the best player on the team or in the series.
Yep. Yes, without a doubt. Maybe not against the Hawks. Not against the Hawks.
But against the Bucks or the Nets.
That's a different series. That's a different series. We're talking about the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm actually excited about the series versus Atlanta. I think the Sixers win in six. I think it's going to be an exciting series. And I also wouldn't play Joel Embiid.
No, I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't.
Go to Juan. Juan in Coatesville. Juan, how are you?
Hey, what's up, y'all? You guys are crude, man. Leave that boy alone. He came in that game last night and tried to dunk on that dude, shove that ball down his throat, and that sparked the team. Like, they try to, foul Ben Simmons, and that failed on him. But, like, The Sixers have a chance. I mean, I'm like, I'm a realist. Like, I don't feel it like the Eagles and all that stuff, but, like, if they click on all cylinders like they're supposed to, I think they got a shot to beat the Hawks. But if they don't, I don't know. It might go seven games.
Well, they could lose, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is far from a win. I think
the seventh game would be here.
Yeah.
I like the Sixers' chances in the seventh game at home.
All right, Juan.
Yeah, I mean, like can I get some Ike juice, man? That kid needs some Ike juice, man.
He must have been drinking that Ike juice.
The Tyrese Maxey needs Ike juice, sir.
Yeah. And by the way, Juan, that's Jack picking on Tyrese Maxey.
Not
that's,
us.
That's not me.
No.
Yo, you guys he's crude.
I can't help but laugh because he played the whole thing. Yeah, I'm trying
it was funny.
Not to laugh. Yeah,
I was dying. I was
See?
Yeah, I mean, Juan, he doesn't play like that on the basketball court, thankfully.
Yeah, we don't even remember that until Jack plays it.
Of course.
Some of us don't forget things.
Never forget, Jack.
No one's better at not forgetting.
Never.
Like me.
Never forget. Mm. Yeah, last night they did everything that you needed them to do. Last night the Sixers did everything that you wanted them to do. They got to the next series, which was really the only thing they needed to do. Now they can say, okay, what do we got? Sunday, 1 p.m., Hawks. Hawks are a good team. But Tobias is going to have to be the best player on this team. He's just going to have to be. He's their go-to guy. Ben's got to remain aggressive.
Yeah, the Hawks don't strike me as a very good defensive team. But for some reason, maybe it was just the Knicks, that their offense was terrible. See what the Hawks
I think that's part of it, too.
Yeah, the Hawks ranked defensively. I know they focus more on offense, but
I don't know if Trae Young's necessarily a lockdown defender.
Yeah, and that's why I was never concerned about the Wizards from a scoring standpoint, because the Wizards are one of the worst teams defensively
yeah.
in basketball. So you knew the Sixers would be able to score some points. It's just a matter of whether or not you're going to be aggressive and go get the points. I mean, that's really what it boiled down. That's what it boils down to. That's what Maxey was able to come right in and do.
First quarter last night, Ike, it did not look good early.
Nope.
Man, but like you said, Maxey came in, good substitution by Doc, get him in there. He really changed the energy of the Sixers in the game, and that kind of took the edge off the rest of the guys too.
Yep.
And from that point on, different guys just continued to step up during the game. Danny Green late in the first half. Tobias Harris was excellent in the second half. And then Ben kind of came around, too. He was doing a lot of things.
And to me, you needed a game like that last night because I think there's a sense with those guys that we're probably going to have to play at least in the near future without Joel Embiid. So we may as well get used to that.
Let's get going.
Get that mindset going. He's not coming back to save us. We're good enough. Let's go out here and do it.
215-592-9494 Just the way that he was out on the court taking shots. He was in his sweatpants. My bet. I'm not saying this is what I would want. My bet is that he plays in the Hawks series, unless the Sixers win the first two games and then they have the luxury of saying, you know what, like it just feels like that they're going to bend or they're going to react to what's going on in the series. And when I say they, I'm really talking about Joel Embiid and what the 76ers let them do. And I hope that's,
all right, listen,
hope
all,
that's
all,
not the case.
Listen, all I can tell you is I hope he stays healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, because you're the ones who have to answer for why was he out there when he already had a tear in his meniscus. So, I mean, as an organization, that's what you're going to have to answer for.
Yeah, the Kevin Durant stuff really kind of
brings
some reality to it. Yeah, it does.
It's real.
215-592-9494. Hold the phones. We'll take your 76ers calls next segment. But we also have Ruben Amaro Jr. coming on for his weekly hit. Could the 17-3 Phillies win be a sign of things to come? How early is too early to think about selling? We're already doing the selling thing, Jack?
Well, you never know. I mean, he was in the front office.
Well, it's a good point. Like, how far do you go?
Is Rube ready to sell right now?
Is Rube buying or selling?
Rube wasn't a big selling guy
back in the day. No, man. We're trying to win titles back then.
That's right.
But
all the time.
When he did sell it at the end, he sold very well.
He did.
Got some good prospects for some of those older players. 215-592-9494. Your phone calls on the Sixers next segment. Ruben Amaro Jr. next. Don't go anywhere.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.